welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. So in the studio with me today, Joel is here. Good to have you, brother.
Good to be here.
We have, we're going to be talking about a topic. We were, you had sent over a text to me last night, said, hey, let's talk about pride. And I said, okay, sounds good, because there's always areas of pride that we can be talking about. And as men, there's those are things that we know about and experienced ourselves. And what we are going to do today is we're going to talk about pride, but we're also going to talk about the other side of the coin there, of humility, and what that looks like in applying that in our lives. Now, one of the things I've always thought is that, first and foremost, is that when you start to talk about humility, is that really being humble, you know, about how to be humble? Talking about it is not very humble.
Not always, but just to be clear, we're not talking about humility like someone makes fun of you. Humility?
Oh, you're talking about humiliation?
Yes.
Oh, no, that's not what, yeah, no, no. We're talking about the opposite of pride.
Okay, because sometimes you can be a proud person, someone can humiliate you, and that kind of lowers you down.
Well, humiliation gets you closer to Jesus anyway.
Sometimes, yes, as long as you take it the right way.
Or whatever. That in itself is the talk of topic of its own. We can talk about humiliation sometime. But anyway, it comes to the simple fact that pride is not just my issue. I used to think it was just my issue, but I come to realize and find out that that is something that has been a lot of issues for a lot of men, the same issue. Okay? And you and I have talked about this. We know that we're like in that sort of thing, to where our pride will keep us from admitting that we're wrong, or that we need help, or that somebody can do it better than I can. this is where we should have a camera here to see your facial expressions.
Well, you're saying it's the pride that's going to keep me from admitting that I'm wrong. Well, maybe I'm not wrong.
Yeah, that could be. Yes.
Maybe I'm always right.
That could be. Or, so you have a definition for pride?
I got a definition of pride. I got a definition of humility.
Oh, no. Listen, didn't you have something written down already?
I do, pride? Yes.
Yes.
So pride is a quality or state of being proud. You know, it's inordinate self-esteem. Inordinate meaning unusually large mm-hmm. self-esteem. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a delight arising from an act, possession, or relationship. You're proud of your things.
Right.
You're proud of your children,
right,
which isn't always a bad thing. You know, it's proud or disdainful behavior or treatment mm-hmm. of others, mm-hmm. or it's an ostentatious display. Mm-hmm. So walking around all puffed up, showy, you want everyone to see you, to recognize you.
Yep.
That is pride.
Is a peacock pride, proudful? Peacock?
A peacock? Peacocks are very proud.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
That's part of why they show that tail on the back with all the
colors. Maybe they have something to be proud about. They're very beautiful.
Yeah, well, it's about getting others' attention, and it's actually letting them know that, hey, I am better than you are.
Yes.
You know, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So why do you think that pride is such an issue in men's lives?
The reason pride is an issue in men's lives...
What do you think? What do you believe?
It's sin. It really is. You know, Satan was cast out of heaven for his pride. Mm-hmm. He thought he was better than God, that he could be God. So he was cast out for his pride. Well, then he goes down to the garden. What does he do? He tempts Eve. You know, well, you should be like God. You eat that and you can be like God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in our very, it happened at the very beginning.
No, and I get that, and I understand that. But in today's world, why is pride such an issue?
Well, it's ingrained in us, for one. You know,
okay.
we're told, you know, you need to be big, you need to be strong. You know, we see it everywhere. You need to show yourself off. You need to be proud of what you're doing. And there's nothing wrong with being proud of what you're doing, but how are you going to show it?
Mm.
How are you going to treat others when you do it?
Mm.
We're seeing on TV all the time, in newspapers and magazines, that, you know, you got to basically cut other throats to get to the top, you know. So then you feel you've earned it. You know, you work hard, you've earned it. So then you become very proud of what you've done, of how you got there.
So then in some cases, there are guys that growing up did not get that type of education, in a sense, whether it be from parents or from school or whatnot. It was just the opposite.
It was.
Where they were abused emotionally, maybe even physically, in a sense, where that created a sense of insecurity in their lives, of desiring to be shown what to do because can't do it.
Yeah, it's a dog eat dog world out there.
So, but as a result of that, those men are not the ones that you just described first, where they feel that they've got to be the very best. They're being told that they're not, but yet that becomes a pride issue at times in their lives, where they desire not to continue living that way, and it's out of fear, right?
It is.
That somebody is going to have one up on me or take away what I've got, or, you know, and or in some cases feel like they don't deserve anything else but that, you know. So pride runs really deep into a lot of situations. I myself personally, it has been something where that is something that I've always knew was an issue in my life. Okay. I used to work at, when I was in college, before I went into, actually right after I got off active duty, I worked for Motorola in Arizona. And I had a night shift because I had school during the day, so I worked at night and did line work. And one of the banners they had in front of the place, because this was all, you know, microchips and all of that sort of thing, that you're putting things together and under microscopes so they wanted to be able to get a lot of the, you know, whatever it was that you were doing done correctly. And they had, their banner said pride, personal responsibility and daily effort. So I remember seeing that for the longest time. Every morning or night that I would come to work or leave work, I would see that, you know, personal responsibility and daily effort. I said, man, I like that. You know?
That sounds good.
It sounds good. But all of a sudden, it became something along with what I wanted, saying, hey, my pride, it just keeps me alive and keeps me afloat, in a sense. But then I found that if I could, now other things came into play, especially when fear of somebody's going to try to take possession of how I do things in life or tell an authority. Now I try to figure out how I can best deal with this sort of thing.
How you can manipulate the situation.
Exactly. And people to be able to do, to get what I want. And when I was able to do that in some situations, then I saw, oh, hey, this works. And I could try it in other ways. And then it just led to a life of a lot of deceit, lies, and everything else. Okay. And it was all about me. And it's always been about me, you know. But that's the nature of the beast.
It really is. You know, it's always all about us. The other thing you said, it was out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you were told growing up, you know, you're not smart. You're stupid. You mm-hmm. can't get it right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you tell yourself, no, I'm not stupid. I am smart. And we're told, you know, think good thoughts of yourself. So, no, I'm not wrong. Maybe they're wrong. I'm going to spend the rest of my life proving everyone else wrong so I can prove to myself that I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
And so out of fear, of that you're going to realize maybe you're not always right, you go around trying to put others down.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so you show this ostentatious display.
Yes.
You're showy. You always have to jump into a conversation to say, hey, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, but guess what? I'm right. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right.
I always found that at times that there were people like that that I didn't want to be around, right? You know, because I felt that there was going to be a challenge, and depending on the situation, you know, if it's embarrassing, in other words, there are other people around that would witness the conversation or whatever took place. You know, when you get into a competitive spirit, which all men have to a certain degree, okay, it's even like arm wrestling, you know. I remember taking on guys that had arms twice as big as mine, but I would do it just to show that I'm not afraid, you know. And would I lose? Yeah, I would lose, but I wouldn't do that very often. But I would just show that, hey, I'm willing to go up against somebody like that and lose on something like that. But yet there was a part of me that says, you're just not any good at anything, you know. And there's a part of me that of things that were said that I wanted to overcome, that you'll never amount to anything. Well, I was going to amount to something. And I'm going to do the best I can to get the brass ring, you know, when that merry-go-round, and you know, come near it again. You know, I'm going to reach out and grab that thing.
And I'm going to make sure everyone sees it in
yes,
the process.
And hold it.
Yep.
Yeah,
I'm going to stand on the highest peak I can and shout to the whole world, look what I did.
Yes.
Look what
I
did.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, so the pride itself will, because of making decisions based on self and not on, you know, the Bible itself doesn't talk anything about pride being a good thing necessarily. It does mention certain areas about being proud of certain of respecting and being like someone, okay, of knowing that you're leading someone toward, but it's not us that gets the credit, you know. It really is about giving credit to the Lord for what he's doing in our lives. And I don't know about anybody else, but at times today, Mark Twain used to say something that just, I remember this from high school. He had a statement that said, I don't like compliments, ... because they never seem to say enough, right? And when I read that, and the reason it still sticks with me today is that that's exactly how I felt. You know, when somebody gives you a compliment, you want them to, okay, keep anything else you want to say? You know, you know, you won't ask that, of course, but you sit there and you go, oh, that was nice, but yes, I would like to hear more and more and more about how good I am or what I've done and all the things that I could accomplish or have accomplished and so on and so forth. That's something that we feed on, okay? And I got to tell you, honestly, a big part of that is because I was so insecure. I was so insecure. It wouldn't matter if somebody spoke for an hour about all the good things that I've done. I would feel so insecure inside that still might help for a little bit. And I'm talking just a little bit. And then all of a sudden go right back into this depth of, oh, I got to continue on trying to keep this up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so. And it's all a hard issue.
Yeah.
So example, just yesterday at work we had a meeting and they were giving out awards to employees who did really, really, really good. And I sat there and I told myself, I don't want an award because I don't want to stand up in front of everyone and be seen as something great because maybe that will fill my ego. And yet at the very same time, I had seen a guy who got two awards from two different managers. And I was telling myself, man, I really hope I get two awards. Maybe I'll get three awards. It's a heart issue. It really is. At one part, there is, you know, God's telling me, maybe you just need to accept award humbly. But then there's my flesh saying, well, I really want more. I want more awards than that guy got. It's like a competition when it's not a competition.
So what was the learning experience for you at the end of that?
The learning experience? To change your heart, but it's hard.
Yeah.
It really is. I got an award, but I had to walk up there and humbly receive it. But I was so I was so, like, concentrated on trying to be as humble as I could in the process that I started walking away, you know, from the manager giving me the award before even shaking his hand. Everyone started chuckling, mm-hmm. you know. It's like, that's kind of humbling right there, you know. I was so concentrated on trying to be humble, I wasn't, you know, looking good and...
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so often, too, it could be taken the way that other people see it, perceived as, hey, he just wanted his award. Now he's out of here. He's not even going to shake the guy's hand.
Exactly.
So that's even more prideful in a certain sense. That's what it would look like.
Exactly.
To some people. You know, when we get back from the break, what I would like to be able to talk about is, let's talk about the other side of the coin here. We all know about pride and how much that affects all of our lives as men, and why and how that has even taken us into the depths of close to death, if not death in itself. Okay, but let's talk about this thing that we've mentioned a little bit about humility, and how that can look in our lives without having to say, "Hey, look at me! Look at how humble I am." That's a little bit of that false humility that we might talk about also. We're going to just take a moment here, acknowledge some of our sponsors, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
I don't know about your body, but my body loves protein. That's right. And when I think about delicious protein, I think about Hempler's pepper bacon, Hempler's hams, Hempler's bun buster hot dogs, Hempler's chorizo, Hempler's chicken sausage. It's all so delicious, and I don't have to worry about extra fillers. The entire Hempler collection of smoked meats is completely free of allergens, gluten, and MSG, and is made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. To learn where you can purchase your own Hempler's meat, visit Hempler's.com. God, how I believe that I can push back the mountains. Can stand on the waves. I can see through the darkness. I'll hold up a flame. Take me to the ocean. I want to go deeper. Well, I'm not afraid, no. I'm a believer.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and Joel and Raul in the studio here. And, you know, we've been talking about pride and in what's gone on. And but we want to talk about the other side of the coin here. You know, often I've been told that in trying to talk about humility, you're not being very humble as a result of doing that. But somewhere along the line, it's about talking about how sometimes how others do things, and rather than how we do things, or maybe how it's been learned to be able to be more humble in a sense, to be more Christ-like in a sense, because that's really what it comes down to. So definition of humility, do you got that?
The definition of humility by Webster is freedom from pride or arrogance, the quality or state of being humble. It gives an example, you know, she accepted the honor with humility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perfect example at that award ceremony. I'd seen before I got my award, I'd seen an employee who got her award.
Mm-hmm.
And as they started saying, this person's got these customer service awards, blah, 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 I could see out of the corner of her eye, she's sitting there like, she's antsy, she's ready to go. She's like, yeah, come on, come on, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I'm sitting there thinking, that's not very humble of her. I'm going to be more humble. Well, in the process, I looked proudful by getting my award and trying to get out of there very quick, you know. So being humble, it's very hard to be humble. And then at the same time, you want people to see you as humble.
Yeah.
It's kind of a pride thing because you want people to mm-hmm. recognize you as humble.
So it makes it's really difficult to practice this sort of thing when you're so used to for so long – attempting to be protective of your heart and your mind and everything else from other people doing any harm to you. That's part of the pride thing is keeping people at bay and away. If I'm smarter, if I'm more, if I have more wisdom, if I make better decisions than others make, they're going to look at me and say, "Hey, this guy is, stay clear of him," you know. And that's part of where that pride issue, having continually trying to be one up from everybody. Where in humility, in a sense, it's really in a sense not taking anything, any credit at all personally. Of being able to give, in this case here, more Christ-like attitude of saying, hey, it's about what the Lord has done in my life, okay? Jesus talked about God the Father all the time. That's who he connected with, you know? It was because of what he had given him, the Father had given him, to be able to get through what he's doing here on this earth.
Okay? Yes.
And in turn, we do the same thing. We try to or attempt to in certain cases, but... just so we can be clear, humiliation is a different thing than humility, you know, and being humble, you know. Humiliation is more of the prideful part of me realizing that all of a sudden now I'm shown up by someone else or something else, and it can be humiliating, especially when I've been boasting about myself, right? Yeah, so that's not... is it a humbling experience? Yes, but it is humiliation is not necessarily what we're wanting to seek. So, because of anything, we want to be talking less about ourselves and more about who truly gets the credit for things that are taking place in our lives, right?
That's very true. You know, humiliation does come. It can come when you're very proud. You know,
yes.
Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall."
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the higher up you are, the farther you have to fall.
Yeah.
You know, and so it really is like not taking credit for things when maybe you think you deserve the credit or others think you deserve the credit. But what if someone decides in front of others to give you that credit regardless? You didn't ask for it. You didn't seek it. And out of nowhere, they're saying, hey, I want to acknowledge you in front of all these people for what a great job you have been doing. Well, then there comes the issue. Are you going to be proud or are you going to be humble? Are you going to say, well, thank you. Yeah, I've worked hard. I've tried really hard. And I think that's how I've accomplished this. Or are you going to be humble and maybe acknowledge the Lord for the abilities he's given you? Maybe acknowledge others who have helped you along the way, because we can't do everything by ourselves. We may think we did, but there's other tasks that, like at work, that have to be done.
But one of the key factors to this thing on the pride or the lack of humility is selfishness, plain and simple. It's all about me. And it's all about me. And let me tell you that it's all about me and how it affects me and how I deserve this and deserve that. Or I don't deserve this or I don't deserve that. You know, I. That's what it comes down to. So, you know, there's something about this dying to self that is very difficult for us to do. We want control of our lives. We want to be able to, and that's where, for me, that's where my bottom came, is that I wanted such control that I didn't want to have to feel pain of the past, so I allowed drugs and alcohol to kind of take over in my life, which they did, which I had no control over, and put me in positions of learning experiences and of humiliation and realizing that, hey, I can't do this like this. I can't do life like this. So sometimes I believe that I became aware that why is this continually happening in my life? And I ran out of people to blame, especially when there wasn't any family around or any authority, okay, that it was truly from the decisions that I've made. If I were to look at that, that's the reason why I am the reason I have met the enemy. I'm looking in the mirror. I have met the enemy. You know, the book of James talks about it. It says a man looks in the mirror and immediately turns away, forgetting what he had seen, okay? Because I don't want to see that, because I didn't like what I saw. And then all of a sudden, what ends up taking place is I, you know, once again, thinking, oh, man, I am just busted up. I am meaningless. I don't mean anything to anybody or nothing. Well, truly, that's a lie from the enemy. And we all know that. The Word of God lets us know that how much we are loved by Him. That in seeking Him, acknowledging Him as not only our Savior but as our Lord, that He is actually going to surround us and protect us as long as we keep seeking Him, abiding in Him. And in doing so, what ends up taking place is that the attitude starts changing on our part. We start to realize that, wait a minute, I do need a Savior. And the Savior cannot be me, you know. And in doing so, all of a sudden, life starts to change. You mentioned something earlier when we were talking on creating me a clean heart, right?
Yes.
Psalm 51?
Psalm 51.
I think it is something like that.
Verses 10 and 12, you know, create in me a clean heart, O Lord.
Yes, yes.
And renew a right spirit within me.
There you go. But we have to get to that place of desiring that. And that's where the pride, you know, this getting down to the root, you know, not just cutting off the top of the tree, but getting down to the root. So, you know, and you've done this. We've all done this. Every time I go out and start doing some pruning and cutting things down, all of a sudden new shoots start shooting up down lower, okay? You go, whoa, man, I want to get rid of this whole thing. I don't even want this. Well, if you want it out, you got to take the whole root out.
You do. When you want to get rid of a weed, yeah, pull it out by the roots.
Yeah, not just the top. You don't just go around with your scissors, cut the top, because you know that's just going to manifest even more of them, right?
It is.
So as a result of that, that's the same thing when it comes with the pride of realizing that, first off, this whole thing is not about me. And I think that's where, for me, one of the largest learning experiences I had was realizing that I truly needed God. And I used to mock God. I used to resent God because I thought the things that were going on in my life was what He either did in my life, okay, so that I would be feel the pain, or that I would actually end up realizing that I resented Him for what He's allowed to take place in my life, okay? And as a result of that, I ventured off into different areas of life and other beliefs and stuff, thinking this might fit for me, you know? And it didn't, because it all came back around continually anyway.
Psalm 10:4 says, "In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God."
Yes.
And so we might be coming upon hard times, and we might think, well, maybe God doesn't exist. You know, I did this on my own. Mm-hmm. Despite the challenges that arose, I accomplished this.
Yes.
Not God, because maybe God doesn't exist. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had those challenges in life.
Yes.
When maybe, in fact, God gave you the ability to get up every morning,
mm-hmm,
to go to work, to earn that money.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we think it's all about us.
But
you
we have
correct.
To get to that place of brokenness to be able to allow Him to come into our hearts, you know, and to believe that I need help, okay? I truly need help from Him. Instead of looking at Him as a God that I should be running away from because He's trying to hit me with His lightning bolts, that I should pause long enough to allow Him to be able to have His way with me, in a sense. That I just need to get out of the way, you know. There's something about this brokenness of realizing that I need to, there's so much more for me to learn, okay? And yet, this is something that even becoming aware of that sort of thing, I could sit there and say, okay, you know what? I'm willing to learn. God is in charge of my life today. But if I'm not continually active in my thinking about that, other things seep in, like the world, right? Oh, if you buy this, you can have that. If you drink this, or, you know, you can have that. If you have these people in your life, you know, all of those things that we're continually being bombarded with all the time, right?
Yes. You know, you're right when you say we have to come to a place of brokenness. In Luke 18, there's a parable, mm-hmm, of the Pharisee and the tax collector. You know, mm-hmm, the Pharisee's praying to God. He's like, you know, I've done this, I've done that. I'm holy, I've obeyed the law, I tithe my money.
Yes.
Thank you, I'm not like that tax collector. Whereas the tax collector, You know, he tears his clothes. You know, he won't even look to God. He's, "Forgive me, God, for I am a sinner. I don't even deserve to be in your presence."
Mm.
Well, Jesus says that the tax collector went away justified, not the Pharisee.
Yes.
And the reason that is because with the Pharisee, there's nothing God can do there. You know, the guy thinks by his own power he's obeyed the law. By his own power he's tithed his money. Mm-hmm. So what can God do there? What can God work in his life mm-hmm. if he thinks he's done it all?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the tax collector admits his brokenness. Mm-hmm. He admits he needs God. Mm-hmm. God can work there. Mm-hmm. God can say, "Yes, this is what I need. Now, let me help you. Let me restore you." Whereas the Pharisee, if God comes into his life and says, "Let me restore you," the Pharisee is going to look to God and say, "Why? Why do I need restoring? I'm perfect."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's part of that getting to that place of hitting a bottom in certain areas of our life, realizing that it's because of the sin in my life, that's where I'm at. And just the awareness that, hey, this isn't going to work anymore. But what do? Usually when it comes to pride issues, we have a tendency of isolating, staying clear of anything that might be helpful or things that we've perceived as that's not going to work in my life, you know, because you mentioned earlier where all of a sudden now I want to become a non-believer, that God's not really there. And that's the area, that's the direction I went into this after, you know, that all of a sudden I started believing that, yeah, that after death there is nothing, you know. It's just total darkness, you know. And so I might as well just party hardy while I'm here on this earth. And when I go, I go. That's just the way it is, you know. And but that didn't feel right either, you know. There's still a part of me that says, no, there's got to be some hope somewhere. But that was the thing that was still instilled in me. Somewhere in the past, you know?
There is. You know, there's our spirit inside of us knows that there is more beyond this life. But our flesh is telling us that there is nothing more, so enjoy it while you can. You know, but out of fear, we refuse to give in. We refuse to go and seek help because we're afraid in this life, maybe I'm going to have to face some humiliation. Maybe I'm going to have to admit my faults. What are people going to think of me then?
You know, there's see, I'm going to find it here real quick here in the book of Micah, I think it is. Let's see if I can get to it. And I think it's Micah 6. I think it's Micah 6. I think it's 6:8. Let's see if I can pull it up here real quick. It just came to, that's what it is. Micah 6:8 says, and Micah, of course, being a minor prophet, and not that he's any smaller than the other prophets in a sense, but it's because of the number or the length of time that the Lord used them to be able to speak to us, okay? In Micah 6:8, he says, "He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." You know, so being humble doesn't necessarily mean that you don't fight for anything, okay? He says you want to be able to act justly. In other words, justice is what it's about, okay? For everybody, even those in our lives, you know, that if there's something that is a wrong, that you see it, you want to be able to stand for it, okay? But not because of me being hurt, but because this is exactly what the Lord wants, okay? And then, of course, to love mercy. Oh, man. First off, he bestows us with mercy. You know, I don't deserve any of it. If anything, the way that I've lived my life in the past, I don't deserve this life. And the simple fact is that I love that he sees and bestows mercy upon me, okay? Because I don't see myself. So that tells me right there that I need to kind of look at myself, maybe the way that the Lord looks at me, okay? That he does love me. That there is a purpose in my life. Because his word says that, right? And in doing so, he says to walk humbly with your God. You know, one of the things that I remember being told that true humility is the being able to be teachable. okay? And that's where I want to continue to learn. Never say that I've arrived. This is, I'm at the top of the apex, at the very top of the mountain. I'm not there. We'll never reach that. That I need to continue learning. And in doing so, and applying that into our lives. Well, let's take a break. Let's take our last break here, because we're just talking and talking here. And we'll come back, and let's talk a little bit more about some of the things that it would require on our part to have more humility in our lives and less pride. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
You're busy and the last thing you want to worry about is lawn work. What if someone else took care of that for you? If you live in Northwest Washington, Kane's Lawn and Garden can take that job off your to-do list. With almost 30 years of experience, you know they have satisfied customers who continue to rely on them year after year. Kane's Lawn and Garden can provide as little or as much as you need. Mowing, edging, pruning, fertilizing, weed control, and even general property cleanup. Take advantage of special pricing right now. Request a quote by visiting their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. That's Canes, spelled C-A-I-N-S, lawnandgarden.com.
When you feel like you're alone in your sadness, and it seems like no one in this whole world cares, and you want to get away from the madness, you just call my name.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. And, throughout the Bible, it talks about in different areas where renowned men were humbled as a result of certain things that took place. The Lord took care of things in the Old Testament where men's lives ended a certain way. Abraham was that, who was it that, gosh, I just went blank, hit the rock. And water came out of
it. That was Moses.
Moses, right? And as a result of it, the Lord was upset because he didn't give glory to the Lord. He did it. He struck the rock.
Instead of speaking to it.
Yes, and saying, this is coming from the Lord, okay? And then tapping it with, laying the stick on it, or the rod, rather than hitting it, which he let that happen. But he ended up losing that opportunity of being in the promised land as a result of that. Okay, and so God actually allows things to take place where we can sit there and go, okay, here's something, here's a perfect example of how I need to give God the glory in everything that takes place. We can say thank you that you acknowledge that in my life, but praise God for what he's doing in our lives. We want to acknowledge him in all things that take place, right? And as a result of that, we end up realizing that it's not just about us, it's about him also, okay? And on the other hand, we sit here and we look at our God, who's a God of reconciliation and redeeming God, that he redeems us, okay? From those areas of life that were so destructive that we all of a sudden realize that, okay, here's one more thing that I need to realize, that I need him, and he really truly wants my attention. And that's part of that that Paul, as Saul, realized on his trip, right? When he saw Jesus. Well, he didn't see Jesus. He felt Jesus, right?
He did. He felt Jesus, and he saw a light.
Yes.
And then he was blinded.
Yes.
And I'm sure that was very humbling for him. A man that had to, that was going around stoning Christians and killing them, He was then blind, and he had to be led to a house where a Christian came and prayed for him and mm-hmm. baptized him.
Mm-hmm.
That restored his sight. That was very humbling.
Mm-hmm.
But from that point on, he began to seek the Lord. He began to serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Which gives us hope in the simple fact that if God can do this for someone who took Christians' lives, took lives and stuff, and the life that he had lived, to actually say, I want you to be the one to move forward into letting everyone from this day forward to know about me, right?
Yeah.
That's and as a result of that, Paul ends up becoming the man that God so wanted him to be.
Yep.
You know?
But there were many opportunities for Paul to seek the glory for himself. You know, Acts 14, starting at verse 8, talks about Paul and Barnabas at Lystra, where he healed a crippled man, and the people there thought that they were Zeus. You know, Barnabas was Zeus and Paul was Hermes, you know, and they were praising them as gods. And
yes.
Paul very well could have stood up proudly and started commanding the people and tried to live like a king at that point, or like a god
yes.
at that point. But he didn't. He gave God the glory. He's, you know, he said, we are men like you. You know, he did give the glory to God, even though the people wouldn't listen. He was very humble. You know, Paul spoke boldly of the gospel, but he loved, and he was also very humble.
Yes, yes. You know, one of the things about Jesus, and of course, you know, Jesus was here before Paul came around. And the simple fact is that Jesus was the perfect example of humility, right? In Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, he talks about where Jesus talks here. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When he says lowly in heart, in other parts it talks about it being humble in heart, okay? In other words, he's all power. God the Father is working through him. And what ends up taking place is that we can actually see that and realize that that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do. He says, hey, you know, my grace is sufficient. It is through your weaknesses that my power will be perfected, he says, right? As he said to Paul. And as a result of that, I need to be mindful of that. That if I get out of the way, in other words, my motives, my desires on how I want things to get me out of the way completely, the Lord can work, come through me in everything that I do, and his will be done. So,
Mark 10, 45 talks about the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're called to do. We're called to be more like Jesus. You know, so we need to stop and think, what would Jesus do in this situation?
So in our lives as men today, okay, we can read the scripture, we hear it, and we know that these are things we need to do. What's a couple of ways that we can actually be that, to actually accomplish that?
Well, the first step maybe is to pray, to ask God for the humility, to ask God maybe for the power to do it, to ask God to take your fears of what might happen if you're more humble instead of being proud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the next
mm-hmm.
step is to take that action.
Yes. Okay. So if we pray to the Lord, ask him to remove something from us, we've got to be willing to let it go, right?
We do.
I mean, so it's not about just saying, okay, Lord. So, Lord, we pray and we ask that for the willingness for us to let go of these things that you find not right in our lives. That not that we're going to be free from temptation on those, because we'll be tempted in those areas, you know. But to have that chain broken, that bind that is holding us and keeping us in that darkness of seeking our own desires and our own to please our own flesh and the things in our lives, you know, that selfishness in a sense, right?
Yes.
So as a result of praying, okay, and actually taking that action, praying that out, and even I think one of the steps that is even more humbling is that you ask your wife, if you're married, to pray that, that you recognize this in you. Now, that's a huge step right there, that you're asking your wife to pray that my pride would be eliminated, that the Lord will actually fill this in. But I will tell you this, as a result of doing that, you will actually make her feel even more secure and comfortable in your relationship. You know, when you ask other men to pray for you in that area. See, the key is that we don't just sit there and wait for the Lord to change the lenses on our glasses, so to speak, so that we can see things differently. We start to thank him, because in doing that, as start thanking him for the fact that he's changing my heart, that he's renewing me, that you've let me see the wrong that's gone on in my life, Lord, and I just want to give you the glory. I want to give you the praise. Help me to see others the way that you see them, and to treat them the way and love them the way that you love them, because that's really what it comes down to. And all of a sudden, when like Paul talks about in Corinthians, that we're to, or in Ephesians, that we're to love our wives as Christ loves the church. Wow. Now that real awareness that this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing and how I'm supposed to be doing it. So with that alone, knowing that we can get ourselves out of the way, ask the Lord, and then thank him, and then start walking in that way. Correct? What do you think?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you do. You have to be able to give up that fear.
Okay.
You know, like when you ask your wife to pray with you, there might be a fear that she's going to laugh at you.
Yep.
And you got to give it up.
All right. You had a verse that you wanted to...
I do. I want to pray this for the men.
Pray this for the men.
And myself as well.
There you go.
Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and uphold us with a willing spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord bless you, brother, and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you shalom. Brother, there is hope, and you are definitely not alone.